Bye-bye.
Love, that is, you interlock the two.
Now stretch the greatest.
Soccer, and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Can't block the village.
Sorry, we can't move the cars until the service is over.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Give me the keys.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
Give me the keys.
Okay, we're starting. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Full Reptile Radio.
How you doing?
How you doing? All right. Yeah, so, I'm sure most of you that tuned in last week will have realised that we were talking about UFC 236 as if it was the weekend that's just passed.
Yes. Because I even thought at the time when we were recording it, I've got a wicked idea for a promotion for this. And then someone handily pointed out, oi,
yeah,
dickheads.
It's just like weekends don't count unless there's a UFC event.
I saw your comment on that and I was like, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
Because I found myself struggling like fuck this week to try and find anything.
Right.
Other than Artem and Jason Knight.
Yeah, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it live. I've seen a few clips.
Seen the photo. Have you seen the photo of Jason Knight looking like Chucky?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, Chucky without the stitches. Pre and post.
Bad.
Yeah. The thing is, it's just, that's all there was.
Mm.
And that's the majority of stuff I saw on Twitter was people going, I bought it. I feel a bit dirty. Someone actually brought it down to like, your wife is the UFC. Your mistress is Bellator. And then your dirty biker chick, like side bitch from the bar is fucking bare knuckle.
Mm-hmm. And you love them both equally.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I don't know about the love them both equally thing, but
nah,
I like the Kid Mystery bought the pay-per-view and then fell asleep, didn't watch it.
Bullshit. Did you buy it?
Of course you did.
Have you seen any of it?
No, I've seen highlights.
Your highlights that you... Okay.
£10 worth of highlights.
Oh, how much was it? Was it £10?
Yeah, £9.
Oh, man.
How many of those did they have to sell to pay for Artem, do you think?
Four.
Four.
I don't know, like the whole thing, it just felt like they'd taken the UFC script from 1993, and I can't be mad at someone trying to make money and getting on the fight game, because there's like Matt Brown was on there and people were like, it's too violent, and he's like, the fuck are you talking about, too violent, it's just fighting, it's the same shit. I think you get a bit torn up a bit more. I mean, you saw when your boy Masvidal dished out the three piece and a soda.
Dude, I
that
watched
caught
his rematch.
Him instantly.
Yeah, I watched his rematch last night on what's it called, against Ray. The backyard fight. Tekken. I watched that again last night. It's a good fight. He technically is very good.
He always has been, though. That's why I think a lot of people are sleeping on him. And even when Ross was here and he was saying, is that a bad fight for him to take? And I was like, I just don't think he's not got the same profile. But if you know,
he's lethal in every range.
Yeah, man.
But the thing is with the bare knuckle stuff, it's a different style of fighting. It's a different art.
And I like the way you push up every time.
I have to feel
you're
it.
You're fighting without fighting. Show me someone.
I have to feel it. I'm feeling it now. It's a different posture. It's a different position. If you look at any pictures, any old photos, I've got a bunch of old books like old bare knuckle boxing books. Like they rolled their fist. So it's like a curve to the knuckles. Whereas if you're punching with gloves on, it's more of a flat fist.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a different way of fighting. And then oftentimes the lead punch wasn't a jab. It was like a knuckle.
Yeah, like on Snatch.
Yeah, there you go. You've been talking about Snatch all day.
Keep bringing it back around. Shall I tell you about my daydream?
Go on. So you've told me about the daydream. It's ridiculous.
I'm
going to have a drink while you do this.
Yeah, this is fucking stupid. It's first tangent. Apologies. I was late to the gym this morning. You asked me to meet you at the gym, which was fine. Because there were some people training there. Going to catch up real quick. So... on the way down...
Cal Pacino.
Shout out to Cal Pacino.
Cal Pacino turned up today. Good to see him.
He's good, man. He's a nice guy. I think he's got a massive career. Ahead of him.
He's huge for a bantamweight as well.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Did make me feel very small.
Anyway.
So, as I come down the M1, and I come off at 22.
Yep. So, the M1 is a motorway. I'm going to translate, because we're an international show. Yeah, did you see the comments?
Shit, yeah. Thank you very much for that. Because people even replied to me. I was like, yo, let me know. And then this guy was like, Alabama. Big up.
I thought all of our fans would be within a 20-mile radius of our houses.
Yeah,
I
and our mum's friends. They're doing all right, aren't they? Yeah. They're having a go.
They swear a lot, though. Yeah. They do swear
a
lot.
Crump? I don't think you heard that right.
I don't think I know what. Anyway.
No. Anyway. So
the M1 is the main motorway that goes down.
The main vein.
the main vein, the spine.
The spine.
And then junction 22.
So junction 22, so we can go to the Hardy Warhead facility, which is which is along that way. So before I'm getting to 22, I'm driving along and I just start daydreaming. Imagine if Stephen Graham was there.
Stephen Graham being...
Stephen Graham was in Snatch as Tommy. What's stopping you blowing your bollocks off every time you sit down? Anyway, Tommy, he was in This Is England. He was Al Pacino in... what's it? Boardwalk.
Boardwalk Empire.
Big time. Top bloke. Fucking amazing actor. But he's in the new series of Line of Duty. So he's a proper...
There's also no reason why he should have been at the gym.
Not a chance. But once Jimmy was in This Is England, and he's combo in This Is England. And so Jimmy had mentioned at one point, oh, I might be able to, I'll see if Stephen wants to come down. And I was like, oh, proper fanboy that. And never even mentioned it at the time, didn't ever think of it again. But then, as I'm driving down, it's a really nice day, and literally daydreaming to myself with a big grin on my face about how good it would be if Stephen Graham was there randomly. How the fuck would that work? And the junction 22 just went, boom, and just fucked off straight past me. I was in the outside lane. And I was like, I think that was my junction. And it fucking was. I had to go like 20 miles out my way, then come into a gym full of people, including pro, you name it, and just stood there and go, sorry, mate.
I thought
Stephen Graham was going to be here. And I started daydreaming about it. What a prick.
So as well as me and Kid Mystery both oversleeping, we were like, we're going to be at the gym at 10:30 this morning. I woke up at 10:30. We were up late editing last night. Yeah, working on a cool video. For
I have seen that as well, so I can back
it
that
is
up.
Cool, right? But like we both overslept. I think you managed to oversleep as well, but at the same time I managed to get up and get showered and into the car and drive halfway to the gym. And you woke up just as you're passing.
I woke up about 22. Junction 20 as if I'm going Loughborough at this point. Mate,
you woke up in a daydream about Snatch. Not hang on.
That's good. That's a soundbite, isn't it? You woke up in a daydream about Snatch. Oh. How did you wake up?
No, you just
Sticky.
Said it as well.
Well, I think you're going to be the better soundbite than me, truth be told.
Which of these characters would you rather mess at the gym?
Probably Tommy.
Tommy, with the long beige coat.
Yeah, It's fucking...
Don't think I've got the minerals.
It's just that it's when he's got his gun and he's like, what's that? It's my belt Turkish. No, Tommy, there's a gun in your trousers. What's a gun doing in your trousers? Protection Turkish. Protection from what? The Germans? What's stopping you blowing your bollocks off every time you sit down? Have you even tried it? And then he's out the window like that. Click.
Click. Fucking what a great brilliant. Movie.
So yeah, that's the Tommy Adler. Who would you have liked to meet of Stephen Graham's character? I think you'd like to meet the Al Pacino one.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a fucking savage in that.
He was.
So
it was
good.
It was a great show as well. Steve Buscemi.
Yes. Apart from Steve Buscemi's shoes looked like a clown. You know, at the beginning, anyone else doing that role as Nucky Thompson when you're on the beach and all the stuff's washing up and the music's fucking so cool in it and he's walking away like a don off the beach. His feet are so long and uncomfortable. Mm. He just looks like a clown and it completely takes away from the fucking image.
You notice the weirdest things.
This is why I noticed you putting grippy trainers on ready for a throwdown.
They were blocking my road.
Okay. I think you need to explain.
I just came in and switched my shoes because the shoes I was wearing weren't suitable in case I needed to be light on my toes. You know what I mean?
Literally the first thing he did. He went around the village because there was a blockage in his village that we needed to take care of. I shot the car around the other way and I noticed when he came in, like hackles were up like a dog on the back, just a bit, all right, dude? Nah, yeah, I'm fine. Just going to swap my shoes out. For what reason? They look grippy. They look super grippy. And that was it. You're ready to have a
like
bare toes. Knuckle.
Yeah.
Just
well, there were a few of them, so I was, you know, I didn't want to be.
Went for the big one, naturally.
Anyway,
there you go.
So we're going to talk about 236 again this week and going to go in a bit more depth about it.
Yes, well,
we can.
We had a few last week, didn't we?
We did. We kind of hustled through it, though.
Yeah, but we were spoiled because the week before we had Brad Pickett fighting bare knuckle. Yeah. We had flipping, was it Bellator?
So, how do you feel about the bare knuckles thing? I've only really asked that question because I wanted to tell you how I feel about it.
Yeah, well, I can take that real quick then. So I feel it's like the promotion that we've got behind the UFC and Bellator and all the rest of it now, it's come so many levels on because I've forever defended it. It's not cockfighting. There's less damage that you're taking in this than you do in boxing. Not as many hits to the head and all the rest of it. And the problem is, it seems, I mean, and this is only from the weekend's event, not the one that Brad was in because I didn't see all of that. But there's a point where the promoter came out and was like, right, you like a bit of action? Well, we give the fucking action, so we're going to take his money off him. And you're like, ooh. And it's almost like they'd gone out of a douchebag book of promoters.com and sort of they've seen how well the UFC has been built, or the Bellator or MMA as a whole, and sort of gone, no, fuck it, we're going to start the 1993 program. And it's like, yo, do you know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know if the people behind it just reminded me a bit of fucking Cage Rage. Do you know what I mean? A bit geezer.
Yeah.
Get back.
Yeah.
Cage fighters.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of wicked fights. There's a fight on the one that Brad was on, and I can't remember. I think the guy that was fighting is one of Danny Mitchell's boys.
Right.
Catches him with the cleanest left hook you've ever seen. They don't come out of it looking like Marshmallow Man's been coloured in with red Sharpie like Jason Knight and Autumn did.
Yeah.
But it was a wicked fight. And again, it's just content. It's just like, I don't know football, but there's Premier League and there's other leagues. Mm-hmm. So it's just like going watching bare knuckle at the pub car park on a Saturday night instead of Sunday morning football.
Yeah.
So there's room for it. Mm-hmm. But I just think there's a lot of lessons they could have learned and made it a bit more polished, rather than they're trying to go for that, let's park our cars in a car park.
Let's
with
use
the headlights
of the cars to, I know what you mean. I'm looking forward to it. If it does stick around, which it quite possibly will do, and I have no real problem with it. Ultimately, everyone should do what the fuck they want to do, as long as they're not hurting other people that don't want to be hurt in the process.
Yeah. You know? So only bare knuckle box opponents.
Yeah, that want to bare knuckle box.
Yes. Yeah.
I have no problem with that. And, as long as they're getting paid, they're happy with what they're getting paid for it. Again, I have no problem with that. You know you're going to take a lot more superficial damage because it's bone on your face. It's
bone on your face.
You know, what's going on today?
Covered in piss.
Oh. It's knuckles banging on your cheekbones and on your eye sockets and stuff. It's going to cut you up. It's going to make a mess. I can see you just waiting until that. Get out your system.
Sorry. I'm good.
Find your centre.
It's there. Woosha.
Waterfall. Same one that John Jones sits under when he's in his corner.
I thought you meant like a cocaine waterfall.
Just like, no. Have you seen that? Have you seen Lonely Island?
Yeah.
I've been singing it in my head. Lacey's been playing a song on this playlist she's been training to, and it reminds me of the Michael Bolton.
This is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow. Yes.
And the best scene in that is the one at the end where he's snorting amount of cocaine. He's just burying his face in it. And
the whole world's
brilliant.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Fair play to Michael Bolton for doing that.
He smashes it.
He did. We've gone off on a tangent again.
But it's all relevant. It's all relevant because it's bare knuckle. Bare knuckle waterfalls.
Bare knuckle to
bone on bone. Boner to face. You said.
Yes. So. At the moment, they're kind of harvesting their talent from old UFC crop.
Yes.
Like people that have kind of come to the end of their UFC career. And unfortunately, we're getting that association with, well, these guys are UFC fighters and they do this. You know what I mean? That's the problem. I'm looking forward to, I think it will develop as a sport in itself, ultimately. And I think people will start to realize that the style of fighting for bare knuckle is different. That, you know, the way that you move, the way that you defend. And I think when that starts to develop, I think it'll get far more interesting. And it's a skill set in itself. You can't box. Like, I was watching some of these guys on one of the previous events. They're still boxing like they've got gloves on.
Yeah.
And you can't punch like that. No. You're going to damage your hands. You're going to... It's just not as effective.
Well, they found that in the UFC early days before they had gloves.
Mm.
There wasn't as many strikes.
Yeah.
People were just breaking hands. And I mean, I've been doing a bit of a project for us at the minute, and I can see the distance between cards back in the day was insane. The time spent, like, there was like two or three events a year.
Yeah.
I think if you go back to the Tank Abbotts, Pedro Hizos, people like that, the Randy Couture's even, the Josh Barnett's with the dirty boxing, I think if there was, say, UFC as was and the bare knuckle,
mm-hmm.
it could have come up together quite easily. I mean,
quite easily.
There's quite a similar association. And unfortunately, it does almost come across a bit more brutal because UFC, you can tap someone
it's
in
just
2 seconds.
It's more bloody, you know?
That's the thing. And at the end of the day, I mean, I get so numb to it. I watch the events, the kids watch. It's not a big, scary thing. But there's been people that come around to my house before. I'm like, I can't watch this. I'm like, the fuck? And they're like,
it's just body fluids.
It's just people, like, it's just a fight. But I completely forget how it originally made me feel.
Uh-huh.
And I think...
I don't remember feeling like that.
I just got adrenaline. Never. I can remember it used to be on Bravo before it was picked up anywhere. And I think it was about UFC 33, something like that. And essentially it was about, say, five events out of whack, but there wasn't a massive internet stream or anything at the point. It was like UFC.tv or some shit like that. It was old. So I would watch them, and it was all your Chuck and Tito, a lot of Matt Hughes, that sort of era, Rich Franklin, David Loazzo, loads of old school fucking vets. But I can remember lying in bed and just getting that Chuck Liddell gif, just getting real kind of antsy and just fucking sitting there. Just
I just rock.
Yeah, I get all exasperated because I just want to like just let it out a little bit. And like I can remember because it was on late at night and Stace would wake up and roll over and be like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, he's just in a triangle." She's like, "What the fuck?" And then she'll say to me in the morning, like, "You know, you were sleep talking last night. You talk about triangles and wizards." And I was like, no, it wasn't a triangle wizard. It was a fucking, it was a fight." So the thing is, what happened with the UFC, it went from that to then building to the Ultimate Fighter, which is when money started getting recognized and there was a lot of contract disputes after that. People like Randy, people like BJ Penn and all the rest of it. And then the money for the top end almost sort of got sorted out. So I think...
The thing is, though, just sorry to cut you off. The thing is with the bare knuckle boxing thing, though, is that a lot of those guys are coming over from MMA. So I would imagine they're already quite savvy with dealing with those contract circumstances. So they're most of the guys on that card are probably going to be all right with what they're getting paid.
That's what I hope. And that was what I was going to say, because I see people like, if this bare knuckle thing had come along like a Dream or a Pride or whatever, where someone like Randy would have bounced over to, I think someone like that has been far too savvy in the money side of things and managed to get that taken care of. I'm not saying that someone like Brad hasn't, but there's certain people that you see doing it, and it's if it's a friend or a colleague and you know they've walked out their career a little bit, you sort of don't want to see them then entering something which is slightly more dangerous because I'd like to think...
I was worried for Brad, I'll be honest. I love Brad. And he's one of those fighters absolutely that should have been able to just leave his hat in the octagon and never have to worry about working a day again.
Exactly. And not take the piss kind of thing, but like he's paved the way. I mean, we were talking about it before a number of times. There's Ross Pearson, yourself, Bisping, there's Brad, there's like Lee Murray, the Ian Freeman, old school.
And Mark Weir.
Mark Weir.
The Wizard.
The Wizard. Literally, what? I mean, he got the fastest knockout.
Was that UFC 35?
Brawl at the Hall. There was a Brawl at the Hall. And Mark Weir added his knee.
Was it 35?
I don't know.
When we get the wall up in the lab.
I'm on 24. Oh, dude. I did beat
We're building a new set. We're building a new set. Not this set. This is my gym. We're actually just in my gym right now. No, we've got a set we're building next door for a new show coming up called The Lab.
And it's going to be the bollocks.
The wall is awesome.
And it's only going to... It'll be here as soon as I can do this artwork.
It's taking you forever. I do appreciate that.
But it's going to be awesome. But... I've got to 36 from 33 and it's not there. Is it 31?
Yeah. I don't know. No, it was later than that.
UFC Brawl at the Hall.
The thing with the... So what I was about to say with the boxing is there are a lot of guys, and you made the point as well. If that was around at the same time as those early UFCs, there would have been some guys like Tank Abbott. If he could have got paid... Your phone's ringing.
That's my wife.
Oh.
Don't worry.
Send her a message while I'm talking.
Okay.
We don't want to leave her hanging.
Go on.
We were talking about bare knuckle boxing, weren't
we? You were, and you said Tank Abbott.
Tank Abbott, right. If bare knuckle boxing was around at the same time as the UFC, and imagine the pay scale was about the same for both.
Exactly.
There would have been guys in our gym that would have been like, I don't want to grapple. I'll do this.
Exactly.
I can think of, you would, the first name that comes to mind, I'm not going to mention his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Oh, I love a fight.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There are guys...
He's a free man.
There are guys that were in our gym that would have quite happily have rather done that.
Yeah.
And it's a different art. It's a different sport. And I think MMA's kind of paved the way for that.
Yes.
Because if you go from boxing to... And with traditional karate and taekwondo in the Olympics with judo and then bare knuckle boxing, like there's a knee-jerk reaction that immediately stops that happening, I think.
That's pub fight.
Whereas I feel like MMA's kind of been the segue to allow bare knuckle boxing to happen.
I think fighting's a lot more recognised and accepted now.
Mm.
Like, I know I've said it before.
And appreciated.
Well, this is it. I always use Stacey's mum as an example. Cause
always.
She's a smashing lady, is Jane. She's in the army for a long time, so she's well respected.
So you're not going to say anything untoward about it. You wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't dare. She's a superstar. She would. Yeah, I have got a video of her being choked out by Moo before. I'll have to put that on. But she, I once lent her the Ultimate, I can't remember which seasons it was. Her and my father-in-law, Steve, watched the entire back catalogue of Ultimate Fighter when I had my own fight pass that I had to lend out to people. And basically, they watched that, got massively into the UFC. And then I got there one Sunday and she looked at me and she just shook her head. She went, and it was when Rich Franklin had fought Vanderlei. And she looked me dead in the eye and said, I do feel sorry for the axe murderer. I was like, what the fuck? At this nana age lady saying that to me with Vanderlei just rocking his fists, and yeah. I'm like, how the fuck, that's not normal, but that's come full circle, that's good.
I have felt sorry for the axe murderer in the past though.
I have,
but then at the same time I've rocked up to his gym in Vegas, which has now been flattened.
Oh really?
Apparently they're putting a football stadium there
for him.
No, not for Vanderlei.
Was he running away from it Vanderlei when they flattened FC. It he wasn't running away from it,
was
just
standing outside the gyms trying to stop him,
just with a USADA guy behind him with a bottle. He's like, you're running an incredible rate, Harry.
I remember arriving at Vanderlei Silva's gym for a photo shoot with one of our old sponsors, and he pulled up in an Aston Martin with his face on the side doing that, like roaring with clenched knuckles. So like you've got this image of this person that's going to step out of this, right?
All right.
Right? A terrifying individual.
Yeah.
He steps out, he's got a little chihuahua under one arm and like a pork pie hat.
Of course.
And the biggest smile on his face. Yep. And he just walks into the gym, he's got his flip-flops on. He's like, ah.
Imagine the wrong person saying the wrong thing to him.
I know.
Yeah, savage. There's a video of him.
He becomes the guy on the side of his car.
Because I did feel sorry for him when he made a logo for his brand, which was like Team Wanda or whatever it is. And he then had that much plastic surgery that the silhouette of the logo face doesn't look like his face anymore.
Dude, he had that thing done with his eyebrows, didn't he? To take all the scar tissue out.
It's insane. But mate, I can remember seeing him. And then when he came back out, and I was like, who are you?
Who else had that done, though? There were a couple of fighters. Didn't Nick Diaz have it done?
Quite possibly.
Where they have like, I mean, this might be completely nonsense. I've
been dreaming about Stephen Graham, so you crack on.
That's true. But I'm sure like they cut and they pull the skin down. And they
chip a bit away.
Basically, yeah. Because obviously, like if you look at any old school photos of boxers, you'll notice that they've got like a really prominent brow and cheekbones. Yeah. That's all calcification from getting hit over and over again.
Smashing it up and then, yeah.
So like sometimes you'll get edges on that, which will be problematic for the skin, especially if you've got loads of scar tissue.
Yeah.
And so apparently they take the skin away, they file it down, they put like a membrane underneath, they put it back. But that's what Vanderlei did. But he had that like
psycho stuff.
Yeah. Fuck God, his old fights are awesome though. Mate, remember when he used to walk out in Pride?
To Darude.
Oh. Yeah. Did you see my new Rising gloves?
I did see.
Where are they, Mystery? Were you grabbing those?
I saw them. Nice. I saw them, and I didn't want to touch them. That's how much they were still
in the
boxes,
box, right?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I know. I can't touch. I can't play with them.
Yeah, man. Look at these bad boys,
dude.
They took ages to come from Japan.
Japan.
Oh, Kid Mystery on camera. Look at this.
Check it out.
Hey, there he is. Rock That's what on. He looks like. You're on Instagram now, aren't you? Raptors_MMA. The Raptors.
That's it. Yeah.
Is Raptors. It Raptors?
Raptors_MMA.
There we go. The Raptors_MMA.
Give him a follow.
Already got about 1,800 followers.
Yeah.
Like out of nowhere.
Ben's got 50.
Is he really?
Ben the dog.
Ben the dog.
Ben's on Instagram.
Is that his Instagram?
Ben the dog. His Instagram name is Bonadidente.
Why?
Because it was going to be Pepe Luigi, but he didn't like it.
But he didn't like it.
No, I asked him. I have to. It's like a yes no thing. I have to say, give me a paw if you want it. And it's like, do you want to be Bonadidente? And he was like, I'll have some of that. Ben the dog. That's a bit too obvious, isn't it?
Look at these bad boys,
dude. Let me see. Let me feel the fibre of your fabric.
Like I have to buy gloves and test them. So I've got all my old UFC gloves up there with Cage Warriors and a bunch of other ones. I got some Bellator ones that my friend Paul Barton robbed for me. I got some Yokao ones. I got the new Cage Warriors ones, the Fairtex ones there.
Are they curved like this?
Yes, they are a little bit, but these are kind of oddly curved. Like all the paddings are out on the back of the knuckle, which is really strange.
I like the neoprene bit around the thumb.
I like the fact that they look like Ninja Turtle skin.
Yes, but it looks a bit more like a tortoise hand than a turtle hand because it's a bit dumpy, isn't it?
A bit dumpy. Ooh. Yeah, and then I got the Shooto ones as well, which are pretty much the same. Slightly different. Thumb's different.
Yeah, nice.
But I'm going to put a bag up later in here. I'm going to hang a bag from that clip there.
I don't
And
blame
I'm going to test them. I'm going to see how they hold up.
I'm going to probably drive on the M1 and think about other
movie stars.
Movie stars, British celebrities that I can think about having tea with.
All right. Wait, what do you want to talk about on 236 that we didn't talk about last week? Or that we spoke about last week that you just want to say again? Because you can.
Well, we can't, yeah, because I know that Kelvin got a bit of a bum run last week, didn't he? A bit hard on him. Someone told me, someone messaged me.
You were horrible about him.
Someone messaged me.
You were calling him all kinds of names about custard.
But the thing is, that's it. He did have a big old blackhead on the back of his neck, which looked like he was going to explode.
It wasn't blackhead. It was staph. That was looked like a staph infection.
It looked like a snake staph.
Like, do you remember when Kevin Lee had it on his chest?
Yeah, on his chest.
Yeah.
Insane. Well, it was one of them. The YouTube video went up and I think, was it, I can't remember who it was, who commented on there. And they said, basically, we need to get Owen into an event with all the fighters he hates that's being commented on by Dominic Cruz. And I was like, I can do that. Yeah. I'm not shy, I'll go. But at the same time, hate was a really strong word. And I was like, fucking hell, I don't hate anyone. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But at the same time, there's things, people will rile me. But it's normally for a reaction. So I was thinking about it and I was like, I was the person that always backed Kelvin up before because of what he did to Uriah Hall. And no one expected him to win that. And he did go on a bit of a tear. I think the thing that bothered me a bit was after he knocked out Bisping, and Bisping had sort of been knocked out by GSP, if you know what I mean. It's like he stepped in for round six and biffed him. And Bisping was doing the UFC a favour and it just was a bit bitter to swallow that. And then he was doing the whole Henry Cejudo thing with someone else's belt. And I was just like, it's not really a gimmick. Like, we was talking earlier about Cal, Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a wicked, character, if you like, is very dapper.
Yeah. Is that Master Debonair sponsor?
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah,
wicked
they need suit. To send us some gear so we're not just wearing snappies. But with that in mind, I can see similarities between him and Connor, but I don't see him running his mouth like Connor does. I don't see, like, it's essentially the whole gimmick is just that they both look dapper. Whereas when you go on the other side of the coin, you've got someone like Henry Cejudo who, I mean, even Nick Pete says it himself. He says it best. I think he's said something like, just fuck off. Because he's just being that douchey McDoucherton. Do you know what I mean?
But the thing is, though, like, if anybody is going to be, like, he's qualified himself to be that guy as an Olympic gold medalist and now a UFC champion.
Yeah, but he's almost talking about himself in the third person.
I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that. No. Dan Hardy would never do that kind of thing.
The outlaw disagrees. Fucking hell. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? And then it's almost like Kelvin Gastelum's got this massive range of people to look at and think, well, I'm always the underdog and I always fucking win and I'm really fucking good.
So how does speaking about yourself in the third person compare to having your own name tattooed on you? Is that like...
That's pretty bad.
Does one rank above the other?
I think... No, because a lot...
Because we could populate a whole UFC card with fighters that have got their names tattooed.
Yeah.
And you might have to sit next to Dominic Cruz and commentate it.
I would do it. Imagine. I think Dom's got a tattoo. I think he was doing it to get mad at his dad.
They would unplug your mic in about 3 minutes.
Not even a minute, man. Not even a minute. It'd be like the fucking McGregor-Mayweather tour where Conor's just there going... You just see it unwinding. He's going...
Just hit... Bong, bong...
Yeah. Kicking off.
For the people only listening in audio, that was Owen.
I was doing an impression of Connor kicking off at Dan
because his mic wasn't working.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the name in a tattoo can be forgiven because you can get a tattoo when you are 18 now. Mm. Obviously, legally, it's 18. So a lot of people. My brother-in-law did it. He had a Reaper on his back, and it said Sloman, and that's his surname. I was like, why? He's like, look. And if you asked him now, would you have it again? He'd be like, probably not.
Yeah.
And I think it's like Justin Gagey's got a big, just Gagey across his back. I think there's a lot. The problem is with tattoos is so many, it's so easy to say there's that many regrets because it's like when, who is it? Is it Mike Perry that's got God's gift on his stomach?
Yeah.
But he's got it like this big.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I'm not committing to it, but if you can get close enough, you can read it says.
Yeah. The price doubled every time they went up a font size.
Yeah. So $18. And he's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Back it off. Back it off. Yeah. So yeah, I think talking about yourself in the third person.
Yeah. You see, the thing with the name tattoo on the back, like I thought about this the other day. We were going through, I've got a big box of patches for like jackets and stuff. And and I've got a couple of patches that were from old fight shorts that I've got, old Thai boxing shorts, when like a sponsor of mine sent me these shorts and they were awesome, like half black, half red. And I had my name on one leg and the outlaw on the other.
Yeah.
And I used to wear them, and I used to think they were cool. But that was a time when nobody was watching me fight and knew who I was. So that was a good way of letting people know who I was so they could come back and watch me fight again.
Yes.
And I think when, like maybe when they're wrestling, they're coming through high school or whatever, and they go, or, you know, college, they go, right, I'm going to get my name tattooed on my back so people know I am when I'm competing.
It's harder to stop wearing that.
Exactly. Exactly. See, I won't wear shorts with my name on now.
No, see,
unless it was for my website, which I have done. So
It's tricky.
I've kind of shot myself in the foot there, haven't I?
No, because I agree what you're saying. Because I've got, obviously, we found all your walkout shirts, and for me, it's insane because I can remember all your fights that these were in, and obviously, I wasn't around at the time to grab those t-shirts. So you gave me a selection of old school walkout stuff, which is wicked, but I would never wear it here. Or if we were going to meet up somewhere, I wouldn't be walking along in your Fear the Fighter. I love the Fear the Fighter walkout shirt for whatever reason. I like that one. But it's one of them where I wouldn't wear it here or if we were going out together. Because then you'd just be like, hey. Don't know if you noticed, but it's his t-shirt, isn't it? It's a bit dicky, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wear them, especially the Mexican, Dan. I think that's my favourite.
Yeah, that was the very first one. Yeah. I look like a Mexican Freddie Mercury on it. It was a Nemesis fight gear.
Stay showing me. Just mentioned Freddie Mercury then. Sorry to cut you off. She showed me a meme on Saturday and I was worse for wear. And it was the Great British Bake Off. When all three of them saying, how many cakes do you want to bake, Freddie? And then as you roll up, it's just Freddie Mercury. I want to bake three. And you, as you can imagine, I was absolutely woozled. So I was laughing for about 25 minutes. I thought first you were talking about Freddie Flintoff.
And then you thought you were going to get cake.
Yes. Yeah.
That was disappointing.
I don't mind a bit of cake.
What about the main event? Somebody punked me the other day. And sent me that. We panicked, didn't we?
Was it you?
No, it wasn't.
You laughed way too hard then. I thought he was taking credit. Like,
someone tagged me in a post on Instagram of like Dustin Poirier saying the fight was cancelled. So I took a screenshot of it and sent it to like my UFC WhatsApp group with John Gooden, Ben Chilliberty, Gary Donald. Put it in there. I sent it to a bunch of people, and yeah, it was not true.
Oh, did they just send you?
Thank goodness I nearly swore then.
Yeah, don't swear.
Thank goodness. Because we have an Inside the Octagon up.
Yeah, but did they send you like the emoji of Kermit the Frog and a cup of tea? As if saying, oh, God damn. Hook, line and sinker.
I can't believe it, yeah. Not, normally I hear about those things through those groups, you see. So I thought I'd got the news first this time around and I was going to
jump in. Check it. Yeah, see, I don't want to tempt fate when it comes to...
Don't. We're still a few days out.
Yeah, I mean, we're just starting.
No, it's Thursday today, isn't it? I always forget.
Shit.
Yes, we always record this on a Monday and it goes out on a Thursday.
Well, there's always so much shit that comes out. Like TJ popping, we never got to talk about that because that was the day after, which it's a bit obvious, isn't it? Fair enough. And then Conor retiring. Yeah. Are you?
Has he? Really?
Simple. I suppose we covered it real quick, but we didn't get a chance to cover it because we wouldn't like get together for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I know they did that on, I was listening to the Brad Pickett podcast. Because I'd listened to ours.
And yeah, he's got a new podcast on BT, hasn't he?
He has. And he had your book on there. And
the
like,
One Punch Pod.
Check him.
Yeah. Shout out to Brad. Thank you, mate. Nice one. We still need to get him on one of these.
We need to get the dogs together now that Bono De Denti has his Instagram and then he's got a little fluff ball and you got ear.
Has his dog got an Instagram?
I don't know.
I can't believe we're talking about this. This is a cage fighting podcast.
Cage fighting.
We're talking about
Lasserapsos and Cavapoos.
He is a multi-poo, actually.
Is she a multi-poo?
Yeah, a cross between a Maltese and a poodle.
She is a fucking diva.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, she's got a wicked takedown game as well.
Yeah, to be fair, she sprawls hard.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
I've trained her well.
It's true.
She gets a hold of a toy and then she just won't let it go. And I attack her front legs, but she's constantly
slipping.
Bang,
yeah,
straight down.
But like chocolate dough. Ben's very susceptible to a darse.
Is
he? He wants to lick your face. So you can call him in and he's like, oh, you beard, let me have a sniff. And you're like, bleh. Tap, motherfucker.
Well, Holloway's not got a beard, so Poirier's probably not going to get caught in that trap this week, is he?
Nicely brought back, brother.
Did you like that?
Yeah. So, let's have a look at Max Holloway and Poirier. Because if we go on Poirier and look at his last few fights, the names he's beaten...
Yes.
Because we need to touch on Eddie Alvarez real quick as well after that. We spoke about him in his debut at one, and we said it didn't look like him, and he pulled away. Did you see the pictures of his eyelid that had exploded?
No.
It split... The top and the bottom, full tilt.
Oh,
it's horrible. it was awful, and you could tell why he just turned the way he did.
Okay.
I did like the way that they spelt Timothy, though.
Timothy?
His opponent was called Timothy with an S.
Timothy.
Did make me think of it. Someone drinking a Regal Earl Grey in a garden. Do you know what I mean? Timothy beat Eddie Alvarez with a punch to the eye. Do you know what I mean?
Pretend like you don't know what he means.
You have to know what I mean, otherwise I can't continue. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Forrest Griffin. He sounds like a character from Harry Potter, right?
Have
you met the Forrest Griffin? You have to give him 10 sheets and a broken nail. Do you know what I mean? I don't watch Harry. I've not seen Harry Potter's, but it just makes...
It sounds like you haven't.
It makes me...
You've got children. How have you not seen Harry Potter?
Stace is mad into Harry Potter. She does all the Harry Potter stuff. I do Star Wars. Okay.
You stay in the kitchen and work on Full Reptile stuff.
That's exactly what I do. Yeah. I can't get into it. It kills me a bit.
So you were talking about his last few fights before you went off on an Eddie Alvarez.
Eddie Alvarez, tangent. Insane. He finished Eddie Alvarez. That's unusual, right? Yeah. Justin Gaethje, what the fuck? Round four.
Especially after how he's looked in his last couple of fights.
Yeah, and survived.
He's the one to beat Khabib.
Mate, you called it. And the problem is, this is another thing with this going on a Thursday. The amount of shit we talk about on a Tuesday that we have not spoke to the Fight Disciples. I'm strolling through the woods Tuesday morning with taking Ben for a walk, and all I can hear is them saying, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Everything they're saying, we've already said. But and, as it's coming out later, and it looks like we've just gone, oh, is that right, Nick? I'll use that.
And oftentimes, I want to respond to the things they've said as well, and we record. But we need to address this. Maybe we need to change the record day,
or do theirs then ours, and then we do one where we argue between the two.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, we've got a new recorder with four mic ports now, so we can do all four of us on
Skype. And just get it in.
We'll get us in the cage at the gym,
dude.
Perfect.
Would you cage off the cage? Would you have like a prison wall in between? With a telephone.
Anyway, let's get back to 236.
Anthony Pettis.
Yes.
And Alvarez. I know, right, so the no contest, but he still fought Eddie Alvarez and didn't get knocked out in the first two rounds. So that's a win. Jim Miller. The Michael Johnson thing, that was a big punch at 135. But before that, Bobby Green, Joe Duffy, Yancy Medeiros, Diego Ferreira. It was only Connor. And
you've got two Southpaw strikers there. Conor McGregor and Michael Johnson, two guys that are fast southpaw strikers. Obviously, McGregor was a featherweight as well. Michael Johnson is now a featherweight.
Yeah.
And then Cub Swanson, who fights southpaw as well. I feel like as long as Holloway spends most of his time fighting orthodox in this fight, Poirier is going to be quite comfortable pushing forward and backing him up. I think we might see Poirier hesitate when Holloway switches to southpaw.
Yes.
Because especially if he's doing it quite fluidly like Holloway does, we might see Poirier kind of second-guessing himself a little bit.
The one thing that bothers me more than anything is that Max never looks rattled, ever. And when I say it bothers me, it's more a concern for Poirier, because I think Poirier's got that hunger and that determination to want to climb that mountain, to be champ and do everything he's always said he was going to do, because he's come from nothing. He was like in a one-bedroom apartment with his missus, same missus that stood by him. So it's a wicked story. And he is an awesome fighter. He's always performed, always looked good whenever he's fought, win, lose or draw. And Max was coming up at the same time. He's done that same sort of thing, but he just managed to dethrone a king, justify dethroning the king, and then fuck everyone up ever since. And he's not even done it where you're like, oh, this is close. It's just he's got absolute belief in himself. And I mean, the Ortega fight was insane, because he got lit up a little bit. He got caught a few times, and Ortega's mad dangerous. And for him to sort of come out of that, just look at Joe and go, all right, what you say now? Oh yeah, I'll pull the trigger. Yeah, two minutes. Oh, you're not coming out. All right. And it looks fixed. Do you know? Not that it looks fixed, but it looks, it's too scripted. That's so good. Whereas, like you say, he's longer, he's quite fast, he's got that confidence. I can just see Max doing it, which concerns me, because
do you think
I don't want Poirier to lose.
Do you think Max is going to be able to take the shots of a 155 the same as he could at a featherweight? Like, he was walking through shots from Ortega. Not that Ortega's a massive puncher. I mean, if you think the shots that have done damage, the one that he hit Frankie Edgar with was an elbow.
Wow.
That was the thing that started Frankie off. Yeah, yeah. But like he was taking those shots fairly comfortably from Ortega and backing him up. But I just wonder whether Poirier at 155 hits a lot heavier.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because essentially, if you were to put this down and break it down into who you think is going to win, it would always be Max, I think. But the unknown entity is that changing weight. You look at TJ when TJ fought the other day.
See, I think Max Holloway hits harder at this weight. I think when he moves up, I think the one thing that we're going to see changing, because if you look at the fight against Ortega, he was hitting him as much as he wanted. He broke the record, 290 strikes.
Insane.
But at no point did you see him hit him with a clean shot and you thought, like,
Holy shit.
Like, it was more like a bare knuckle result with just the damage on his face instead of the actual knockout finish. So I think him moving up to 55 now, I think at some point in that combination, he's going to find his knockout shots.
But the thing is, Poirier has knocked out Gaethje.
Yeah.
You don't just knock Gaethje out.
No.
Same as Alvarez.
And he took a lot of leg kicks in that one as well. He did. He kept throwing hard. And I think Max Holloway is going to try and exploit the kicks. But I see Poirier is going to wrestle him. I think Poirier's going
to
try.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
You think we're going down to the ground?
Whether it hits the ground or not, I don't know. I can see Poirier punching his way into a clinch and then trying for takedowns against the fence.
Max's takedown defense is insane.
It's like 83% or something like that. It's really good. And then the times when he's comfortable in defending takedowns is when he starts attacking necks. And Poirier, because he stands square, he does level change into the fence.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. It's a really evenly matched fight.
Who do you think, head and heart?
I think Max Holloway by decision.
I think in the fourth.
Really?
I think he puts it together and maybe guillotines him. I don't know why.
A guillotine, really?
Yeah, I think that essentially they're up against the cage. I think Dustin Poirier shoots in or tries to get him off the cage and Max jumps. I don't know why I think it's that detailed, but I don't know. He's just...
Well, if you're right, I mean, you know,
fucking
you're going to look like a genius.
I'm going to look like a budgie off a Carry On film, don't I? that can predict the horse racing.
I can see Holloway taking a decision. I can see Dustin getting beaten up and frustrated, but not massively hurt by anything. But I do think Max Holloway's going to look better at this weight class.
Okay. Well, if Dustin does win, how does he do it?
That's a good question.
Can you see him subbing him?
I could see him wrestling Holloway to the point where Holloway starts to slow down and starts to fatigue and then getting caught in a darce. I could see Poirier catching him late with a choke.
What did he beat him with the
I don't
first
see,
time?
I mean, you know, this is MMA, but I don't see Poirier catching Holloway with anything clean and really hurting him.
No. So he beat him with a triangle
first. I can see Gastelum more likely hurting Adesanya with a big shot than I can Poirier.
That's the thing with Kelvin. He's got heavy hands, man. And I think Israel's got that uber confidence at the minute, almost the Anderson Silva Weidman confidence.
Mm.
And as much as he looked good against Anderson, I thought he was going to do more, if I'm honest. I thought he was going to put him to sleep. I thought he was going to finish him.
Was that a respect thing, though? Do you think that would be different against Gastelum because he's of a similar kind of generation?
Yeah, completely.
Because I just think he looked like he was being too respectful for Silva.
Yeah.
And I think Silva may have felt that as well.
And I think a lot of... I mean, we know that he got into Derek Brunson's head.
Mm.
But that's the only finish he's had, isn't it? Oh, no, he beat Rob Wilkinson.
But, like, you look at his last loss. So Gastelum's last loss is Chris Weidman, who took him down and arm triangled him. Aside from that, he's beaten Jacare, Bisping, Kennedy and Hendricks since he's moved up.
But he's also fought Vitor, which I know is a no contest, but he's been in there and had a go.
Hendricks was a thing. But, like, he's beating big, strong, powerful middleweight. So the size is not a difference. The difference in this one, if he's going to lose, is going to be because Adesanya's too fast.
So do you reckon he's going to try and cover that distance?
I think he's going to have to.
Dirty boxing.
Yeah. Maybe quite similar to what Poirier is going to do in the main event. I think if I'm Gastelum, I'm looking at Adesanya like, this guy needs space to be comfortable. The majority of his shots are going to be from the outside. So if I close distance, I'm at least bringing myself into 50-50.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm on the outside, I'm getting picked off without being able to land.
And he's a lot thicker, isn't he?
He is. And I think he can also lean on his takedown game as well.
Well, look what he did to Uriah Hall.
Yeah, that's a good example.
When he beat someone
that needs space,
yeah.
Someone that can be crowded and can be flustered if they're under pressure.
Uriah Hall's like an Israel Adesanya, but I've not seen them in person, but I always feel that Uriah Hall looks like a bigger bloke.
Mm-hmm.
Israel seems like he's maybe a weight class down.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I would imagine it'd be quite a similar size standing next to each other.
But I mean, Kelvin's only got better since.
Yeah. They do move quite differently, though. I mean, like, if you think Uriah Hall stands quite high a lot of the time,
yeah,
because he relies on his reaction times, whereas Adesanya relies much more on, like the length of his stance and intimidation as well.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Uriah Hall uses the intimidation of what he's capable of quite as well as Adesanya does.
I think that intimidation is the thing that won his fight against, what's his name? What did I say?
Silva?
No, against Derek Brunson.
I think it was more
intimidating because Derek Brunson just didn't seem turned on.
Derek Brunson's just like, if he catches you in the first couple of minutes, then you know he can knock you out. But his style is so raw, he's so ragged. Like there are so many gaps in his game when he comes charging forward.
Yeah,
like chin comes up, hands come out. Like, that's why Whittaker was binging him on the way in.
Yeah.
And he gave Whittaker problems in that early going.
Exactly.
But that's just because the pressure he brings.
Yeah.
But like you said, Adesanya was able to stop him doing that by being intimidating.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets that respect from Gastelum, though.
No. And I think, Gastelum can make this really ugly.
He needs to, I think.
I think he can.
He don't want to get caught in a Street Fighter game, does he, with Adesanya?
No, because I don't think Gastelum has been highlight reel knocked out.
I can't think of anyone that's knocked him out.
No, especially not highlight reel like that.
No.
Lost. Neil Magny decision with a split, same as Tyron Woodley.
But then, like Adesanya, I wonder how he does against the grapplers in the division. Like,
we're gonna find out,
like,
man.
If Adesanya takes the interim title, then you've got to think Weidman and Jacare and Romero are all thinking, I need that fight.
Yeah,
get that interim title
all day.
All three of those guys would think they can close distance on him
easy. But I don't think that the older generation of like Rockhold and Jacare, I don't think they see Israel as that big of a threat.
No.
I think they see.
I don't think they do. But then maybe that's their mistake. You know,
that's what makes it exciting though, because that's when someone does get turned off within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like the TJ and Cejudo, when we're saying you expect, and we stayed up to watch it, and it was like 20 seconds long. I don't see that happening with either of these. I don't think it's going to be a flash thing like that.
No,
I don't think so. It'd be interesting, but
I'd like to see Adesanya under some,
a bit longer.
Yeah, I'd like to see Adesanya under some pressure. I'd like to see what he does with pressure, especially wrestling pressure. Because if he gets a first round knockout, the questions going into his next fight are going to be all about, you know, what he can do against a high-level grappler.
Yeah.
You know, because I think Gastelum will be able to test him. I think he'll be able to clinch him, work him up against the fence, crowd him, make it, like you said, make it ugly, make it dirty.
Definitely.
How are you picking it?
It's one of them. I think if it's Adesanya, I think it's going to be something ridiculous. Some like Vitor Belfort, Anderson Silva front kick, just oh shit, he's off. Or it's going to be Kelvin just mauling him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he's trying to control an oversized spider, just pulling every leg on and just like trying to bundle him up. Do you know what I mean? I can just see him just...
Like he's trying to take a tent down in a storm.
Yes. Yeah. Trying to take a tent down with them springy pegs. Just trying to... Yeah. But I think you're right. I don't think there's going to be the same sort of intimidation or the same sort of mind games going into it, because I don't think Kelvin's going to get pulled into like a...
Yeah.
He knows what he's here for.
Yeah.
And I think he knows it's his time for his shot. If it's his interim or whatever it is, he knows he's up there. He's not got there out of not trying.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think if Kelvin gets it, he's either lying on him and just smashing him to pieces.
Yeah.
Or Israel's just got some mad distance and manages to catch him with something, gives him the chicken legs.
Mm. I think Gastelum might do it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards him. I like a bit of a wild card though, and I mean, like you said, a lot of people didn't expect Gastelum to beat Hall. And I feel like this is kind of setting up to be a very similar circumstance where everyone's really high on Adesanya.
Yeah.
They're expecting big things from him. And people are a little bit overlooking Gastelum, even though the body of work he's put in at middleweight has been impressive.
Well, it's the same as Poirier. We're pretty much overlooking him to a degree.
I think a lot of people are caught up in the excitement of Holloway moving up a weight class as well.
I just love seeing someone get beat, and not in a bad way. I just like to see how they come back. Like when GSP got beat, just to see how he comes back, man. When Anderson Silva got beat, I know it was unfortunate because it was a leg break on the way back, but it was always that, what the fuck's going to happen when you get beat?
Yeah.
And when they do, you're like, holy shit. Yeah. Like when
how are you going to deal with that? Yeah. Same as McGregor when he fought Diaz, though. That was one of the most impressive things about his career.
To specifically state, I'm coming back at that weight class that I got, that I lost at, that I ran out of energy. But it's like when Randy came back to fight Tim Sylvia, one of the greatest inside leg kicks, overhand rights you've ever seen in your life. And I know Tim Sylvia looks like a redneck derp, but he was fucking, he fucked people up, man. That's he beat mean. Anderson twice. He That's beat, mean. Who, what?
That's me.
What, an oversized derp? Yeah, he went, herp. He's a bit special, but he was a decent fighter at the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What was he, 6'9"?
Yeah, he was a big old lad. And I mean, he's beat a lot of people.
Yeah.
So when Randy came back and did that, you're like, holy shit. He's come back from all this adversity, being sparked by Chuck twice, and he's fucking... Because he didn't like the heavyweight division, he looked at it and went, that's not
I can
right.
do that.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talking about coming back from adversity then, the next fight down the card, both fighters are coming off a loss. Well, Ari Anders is coming off two losses. He's coming off that short notice fight against Santos, remember, where he stepped in late notice.
Yeah.
And just couldn't...
Didn't pull.
Couldn't get up after the third round.
Yeah.
And then he went back down to middleweight and fought Theodora and lost a split decision. And just didn't look...
No.
He just didn't look himself. I mean, first of all, going back down to middleweight, I think, was a mistake. I think he's a light heavyweight. You look at the size of the guy. This is the weight class for him. And he's fighting someone that is also coming off a loss, but someone that a lot of people were underestimating going into the Gokhan Saki fight in particular.
Mate.
Like that Khalil Roundtree's got some big power. It's just he got kind of caught up in that Johnny Walker storm in his last fight and got caught with a big
shame. Yeah, that was a big shame. Not for Johnny Walker, but I mean
for Roundtree and his progress, because he was on a 3-fight win streak at that point. Like if he'd have stopped Johnny Walker, that would have really catapulted his name. But unfortunately, it became a stepping stone a little bit.
I don't think it was even stopping Johnny Walker. I think it was showing up and putting something in so you can say he got stopped, but do you remember when he did? Unfortunately it wasn't, I'm not saying it's deer in headlights, and no one's been able to touch Johnny Walker. It's very similar to the John Jones thing, very similar to the when he fought Stephen Bonner and all these guys and just started going up the tree to whoop people, and no one was touching him. Ryan Bader didn't touch him, Stephen Bonner didn't touch him, no one touched John Jones on the way up, and it's the same as Johnny Walker. But the problem is because he's gone from like the Saki knockout, which was insane. No one expected that because his debut was batshit crazy. And he was looking like he was going to do it again. And then Khalil Roundtree just turned him off.
Yeah.
So to walk into Johnny Walker is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So it's...
I can't... I'm leaning towards Khalil Roundtree in that one. But I kind of don't know, because I don't really know. I don't really feel like we've seen the best of either of these guys yet, particularly Eric Anders. I think now moving up to light heavyweight permanently, I think we'll get to see him kind of explore what he's capable of a bit more. But even with Roundtree, even in the Gokhan Saki fight, I remember watching it back and thinking to myself, I still only feel like he's in third gear.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a lot better than this.
He didn't look like he intended to knock him out.
No.
But he did. I know he did knock him out. I know he caught him flush, but he didn't look like it was like he went...
No. But I mean, the thing is, he's not a lifelong martial artist, is he? So he's still picking up the trade as he's going.
Yeah.
I think the skills that he has picked up since he started has been, you know, he's
impressive.
It's seen him a long way. This next fight down, though, Alan Jaban against Dwight Grant is going to be... Do you remember Dwight Grant's fight on his last fight against Carlo Pedersoli, where punched him? So Pedersoli was coming in with a kick, and Dwight Grant punched his mouth guard out of his mouth
across.
And Pedersoli spun around and landed on the floor, and then like kept trying to fight on, even though the referee had stopped it.
Yeah, I will check it in a minute.
It was a wicked fight. I'm pretty sure. I would have definitely
seen it. Yeah. 4:59.
Yeah.
Boy, imagine that.
Yeah.
Just let it go, boys.
Yeah.
Let it go. I'm
all right. I was very impressed with him because he was a lot more patient in that fight than he had been in his previous ones.
Yes.
I think Pedersoli was expecting him to come out a bit more aggressive, and then when he was hanging back, that's why Pedersoli was starting to get a bit more.
Yeah, jumping, especially 10 seconds to go.
Exactly. Yeah, that 10 seconds. That's a killer, right?
Boop. That's the actual sound effects. Just
that is it. But I used to train with Alan Jaban back in the day in California, and he's always been a tough round of sparring. But since he joined the UFC, he's gone from strength to strength. He's had a couple of tough ones, obviously, but like his fight against Mike Perry was wicked. I love that.
Dude. Awesome.
Good elbows. Really good elbows inside.
Yeah.
Like if he can crowd Dwight Grant up against the fence and start working some of those Muay Thai elbows and knees.
Definitely.
It's the strike for strike long range that I don't think he wants to play with in this one.
Well,
I'm sure he's like a 10th Planet Brown belt as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I mean, he's lost to Gunny and lost to Nico Price, which after Nico Price's last performance, that was fucking slick. It's like, what are you? Nearly dead. Yeah. Throw another one. Smash. Fucking wins. So it was beyond impressive. I mean, he's beat Ben Saunders. Obviously, Mike Perry. We need Mike Perry and Justin Gaethje on every card. Is that not a thing we can just do?
Against each other?
No.
Be a great catch
the rest of the card. Like some tournament style. Like obviously, I'm doing this thing at the minute. I'm on like UFC 24. It's all tournaments. It's like 17 fights in a night and it's the same fucking name keep coming up. But I'd like to. I think we should have Gaethje and Perry just on every card.
Yeah.
Cowboy drops in every now and again. Do you know what I mean? But thing is, Alan Jaban, he's been around forever, man. He's always been impressive. He's never been really in a boring fight.
He's never been in a boring fight. No.
And he's chiseled to fuck. Look at him,
dude. He's a model.
Isn't he a Ralphie model or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We could all be models.
Yeah, I don't think so. I haven't got the face for it.
Especially
anyone,
when it says the outlaw.
Yeah.
Super slick.
Nikita Krylov against Ovin St. Preux.
Oi.
Oh, Mozart patch.
Who are you going for?
That's a rematch. If you remember the first time they fought, Ovin St. Preux caught him in a Von Flew choke. I keep saying Von Preux now. Yeah. Caught him in a Von Flew choke up against the fence.
Yeah. Filth.
But then Nikita Krylov didn't renew his UFC contract, if I remember right.
Just because
he was on a good win streak, and then he lost to Serkanov and didn't renew his contract, signed with Fight Nights Global,
yes.
And then had three fights with them.
Yeah.
But his last fight for them, because I remember researching it ahead of the Błachowicz fight. He took on Maldonado, you know, the heavyweight boxer that fought Miocic
Fedor.
and that's him.
That beat Fedor. Sorry, Russia.
We discussed this last time, didn't we? And we've not had any weird knocks on the door from any dangerous looking people. So
no.
Yeah. So you can still say that.
I'm being followed by a blacked out Corsa. It's weird they'd use that. But fair enough.
He looked really good when he was outside the UFC. He got four stoppages. But then when he came in against Błachowicz, I thought that was going to be a really tight fight. I thought that was going to be a real competitive one to a decision.
Błachowicz looked dynamite.
Really good.
Yeah. And I think this is what I was just about to say about OSP. Sometimes, and we've said this before, you just wake up and you're feeling it and you're on it and you know it's good and everything's in the right place, everything's feeling good. OSP seems to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I think you could sit down with Bruce Buffer and get a 10-second interview with Bruce just to say, is it on? Because Bruce is the last person to see them deep in their eyes. And he's said this a number of times, you can tell. And he's seen the killer instinct in OSP and he's seen that, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Like when he fought Jimmy Manoa.
Dude.
You can see the way he
literally
fought
was just like, go on then, knock me out. And it was, I mean, Jimmy had rattled him early, but to just stand there and wait for it. And I don't know if it's that when he gets that bit of momentum, if he starts and he's got that bit of momentum like against Shogun and he's just running on to stuff and he's always looked dangerous, but you can always tell there's a definite, like it's a good day, bad day thing. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's you never know which one's going to turn up. And that seems to be the downfall. Like when he turns up, he's all over it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he went five fives with John.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think he's a good athlete. I think he's a dangerous athlete. And I think with the skill set that he's got, I think he's gone kind of similar to Khalil Roundtree. You know what I mean? He's got a fairly elementary skill set, but he's doing a really good job with it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that Ovin St. Preux does really well is really awkward.
Yeah.
Like most of the knockout punches are on one leg, moving backwards, punching at weird angles and stuff. But the reason he hurts people is because he's committing to the punches. The only thing I've seen him do really well consistently is the Von Flew choke.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether because he's already beaten Krylov pretty comfortably with the Von Flew choke once before, he's going to start the fight with that confidence this time.
Yeah.
I wonder whether Krylov in his last fight against Błachowicz was kind of caught up in a, now I'm back in the UFC, I've got to perform this time.
So maybe this is that performance you were expecting last time. Maybe. He's going to come out and steamroll him.
Yeah, because that would have been eating away at him for a few months now. Are there any other fights on the card you want to talk about? I mentioned Zalim and Madayev last week. That's going to be great. Bilal Muhammad against Curtis Melendez is going to be...
That's going to be good.
But Muhammad's got to get inside fast on that one. The last thing he wants is to be on the outside of Melinda. Do you remember T, who used to be a part of Roughhouse?
Yes,
to
he made me tie. He made me tie his gloves once.
Dude, he was like he reminds me of Curtis Melinda. Like he was one of those guys when you're fighting him, when you're sparring him, it doesn't matter what part of his body you hit, it feels like a corner
and something else is.
It
coming
feels
back.
Like an edge, like you've just kicked an elbow.
Yeah.
And like with Bilal Muhammad, he's quite a lot shorter in stature. He's got to move inside fast and start boxing up his body, I think.
Big
bring
time.
His head down. Boom. Yeah.
I can see that.
Should we get into Butt Club?
Do you want to explain a bit of Butt Club? Butt Club. Do you want to explain Butt Club?
Butt Plug.
Buttplug. .com.
Sure. No, you go for it.
Who asked you?
That's a good question. Someone sent me a message on Instagram and asked if we can recommend a couple of books, because there was a book I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago and he went out and purchased it.
Boom.
Let me see if I can find where he is.
Part Reptile, MMA and Me is available on fullreptilecollective.co.uk. Some signed copy.
Louis De Pledge. Is his name.
See, like Pepe Luis.
There we go. And he said that he's ordered the Book of the Samurai upon my recommendation. I was wondering if we had more. He wants 5 books. Now, I grabbed a couple of books straight away.
You got your books,
and you brought a book with you as well. Apple. So what we'll do is, every now and then we'll drop this into the show as like Little Reptiles Book Corner.
Yeah. So we can have Book Corner. But I've had this before where people try and make me look stupid and talk to me about educational things. Like
so you came
like
ready
reading.
So you came ready with a book.
I'm ready as fuck.
Do you want me to show you my books first?
You show me your stuff first because I'm interested in what you got for us.
Well, one of the books is the book that Lewis was talking about. This is probably my 20th copy of this because I always buy them, read them, and then I'm talking to somebody as I'm coming to the last few pages and I go, yeah, this is a really good book. You should, hang on a minute. There you go, have it. And I always end up buying myself new ones. So I've always got one that's got a brand new spine on it. So this is my replacement copy. But I've even got some highlighted pages in here still.
Is there any pictures?
There are no pictures. There are no pictures. But it's just a really nice book to... Because I used to spend a lot of time on buses, going from one place to another.
I didn't know you were a bus wanker.
Well, I didn't have a driving license until I was like 22 because I just didn't take my lessons because I was always training.
Too busy. Too busy for this shit.
Exactly. So I ended up spending a lot of time on buses, which gave me a lot of time to read, which was nice. And the good thing about this book is it's all little bite-sized bits, so you can just read a little bit and never lose your place, which is why I have a train ticket in the back of mine still.
Train
look
wanker.
At that from the last there time. So that's the book. Now, I call it the Book of the Samurai. It does have another name, which is
Hagakure.
Yeah, right. Hagakure. It's a Japanese word. It's by Yamamoto Tsunamoto. And if you don't want to read the book and you really want to be lazy and you just want to be entertained, watch Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai not Robert Whittaker. Forrest Whittaker.
Yes.
I always get the two mixed up.
Can you do his crazy eye?
With Forrest Whitaker, because this is the book that the movie's about. He's like, he follows the code of the samurai.
Which
and
is
this
a
is
wicked
the book that he quotes.
DVD artwork on the video box. It's like white and smoky.
Love
it's
it.
Cool
it's a great movie. And then my other book, which is kind of a predictable one, I suppose, if people know me. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Hunter S. Thompson. I mean, it is just, read the book, then read it again, and then watch the movie.
In that order.
Because the book's slightly different. He goes off on a couple of different tangents and he explores a few different, you know. It's worth especially if you like the movie, read the book.
See, I like people reading stories to me. I did your audiobook on the way to Glasgow and back and I listened to it because I had it on Audible.
I'm going to try and read it myself next time.
Yeah, I think it would be good because the problem is I know you well enough to know that wasn't you.
Yeah.
Whereas I think some people would have been like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Dan's just rubbing this
book. I did try. The thing is, I did try. Yeah, we actually, Lacey and I sat in my office for a good few hours and I read the first four chapters. But there's just, maybe if I got past the more difficult chapters, it'd be all right. But there were some chapters where I struggled a little bit. And it is a long, it is an arduous task as well.
I mean.
Yeah. I would like to next time though. I think for all future books, I'll read my own.
Definitely. And I think there's a certain, it's, I can't remember who I've listened to before. I think it might have been Ricky Gervais or Kevin Hart or something like that. But when you hear someone saying it themselves, you're like, oh my God. Mm. And you can get that emotion. And obviously, like you said yourself, there's a lot about your family, your grandparents, like influences and other things that came through that I can remember driving down. I'm in tears because your granddad was so similar to my granddad. And obviously we've got a lot of similarities family-wise. I'm driving back from Glasgow in this fucking snowstorm. Just with tears coming down my face. I'm ringing like, motherfucker. It's like, what? What? I've been on the road for 12 hours listening to this fucking book. But it was...
You're milking cows.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my audition for Willy Wonka. But it's...
Yeah.
So I like people reading stories to me. I like reading books to the kids because I can do voices and stupid shit like that. But I've never been a big reader.
No.
But I always think it's one of them that people try and catch you out with if you're a twat at a social event. Read any good books recently? I'm like, no. No.
But you brought a book.
I have bought a book. And I've bought a book because I didn't want to be left out of the book club. And to be fair, I thought, you're not going to show me up, motherfucker, when you're asking for recommendations on all books. Right. And it's not Spot's First Walk. And it's not Dot to Dot. It is a book that I bought this for my kids, but I also bought it for my very good friend that I used to work at Egg with, Tony. And he's very typically, he's quite middle class, I'd say. He's quite well to do, doesn't swear a lot, especially not around the children. And like they're good people, really good people. So I bought them this book that immediately got banned because Uncle Owen's not a good influence on his children.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so basically the book...
Are you going to read us a bit of the book?
I'm going to show you the book. The book is called The Story of the Little Mole Who Knew It Was None of His Business. Now, that's exactly what you think it is. I don't know if you can see that on the camera. I'll bring it up to the camera real quick.
I thought this was a hat that looked like a shit until Owen brought it with him today, and it actually took... Well, I won't read read the surprise.
So
that the hats are shit.
This is a straight gangster revenge whodunit tale. All right, you might think it's a kid's book, but basically, my mate Mr. Mole wakes up one morning with a length on his head.
Hang on, a length of what?
Turd.
Okay.
Now
we need a clarification there.
The whole book. This could be like a Scorsese gangster film of just mad revenge, because basically he's woken up and someone's taken a shit on his head and he's gone, what the fuck?
That's not cool.
The fuck? So he then spends the next however many pages rocking up to each person, each animal. You've got all sorts in there, pigeons, horses, donkeys. And like, yo, you done this? And they're like, it's not me, mate. I do it like this. And then they proceed to show him how they do the poos. So... Look, here's a pigeon. Did you do this on my head? He asked the dove who was flying past. Me? How could I? I do it like this. And splish, plish, a moist white blob landed on the ground right next to the little mole. His right leg was splashed with white. So, basically...
Who the fuck writes this stuff for kids?
A genius, that's who. So, let me get the horse. They're like horse apples.
So last week you were encouraging people to bite their children, and this week you're encouraging them to read stories about shit to them.
It's all natural, dude. Organic.
Is it?
Organic shit. So look.
And all the time, this mole's walking around with the shit on his head.
He's just carrying it on.
For comparison.
Just like, easy, don't touch it. Just remember.
I need it for comparison.
How baked does the goat look?
The goat does look baked.
It looks mad baked.
I have been that baked.
Yeah, and we've all been there.
In fact, it looks more baked on the next page.
What, when he's taking a shit?
Yeah.
Push it out. And plippity-plop, a pile of toffee-coloured little balls tumbled onto the grass. Oh, the little mole found them almost appealing. So, I'm not going to ruin the end, but I can see
it's
Pacino. Gonna
be about shit, of course.
I can see, imagine Joe Pesci as the mole. Or Danny DeVito as the mole.
He was at Cage Warriors the other week.
Really?
I know, Mystery's upset now, he wasn't there.
Me too.
That was before the Raptors got involved.
We could have seen Frank Danny DeVito from came to Cage Always Sunny. Motherfucker. Which Danny DeVito would you like to meet? Would you like to meet Danny DeVito of Twins, Matilda, Always Sunny. You want to meet Frank? Mm-hmm. Frank's going to get you into trouble, dude.
Bad. I need to catch up on that. I watched the first sort of like five episodes.
Mate, he's a bad influence, man. He's a good guy, but yeah, he gets him into a lot of shit.
I need
it's
to catch up. It's a good show.
It's a really good show. But that's my book. I have got others, but that's
are,
a bad.
Are they all of the same vein?
Yeah, pretty much poo related. Or yeah, I mean, I've got the Gruffalo. I've got a lot of them ones. I can read them.
You
but
can do a Gruffalo voice, can't you? You were saying that the other day.
I do when I read it to the kids. I try and...
So not for the podcast, though?
I can do. I mean, I can't even think how it goes.
Bring that for next time.
Yeah, okay.
That can be next week's book for you.
Yeah, no worries. Yep. I'll bring the Gruffalo. And
he has come to join us.
I thought you were going for a fucking Ruby then, man. You fucking jerk forward. Like an invisible person. Slap the back of your head. Shit me
cool.
up.
Cool. All good?
Yeah, I can't think if there's anything else we need to mention, my dude.
I feel good. Check out fullreptilecollective.co.uk. We've got a comp on this weekend, haven't we?
We're
going to
have a comp on, yeah, because it's Thursday now. So what we're going to do, what we're deciding, let's have, if we do, should we have four codes, each of them, so there's Poirier, or Dustin, Max, and Gastelum, and Israel. Basically, there'll be a code for each. So if you want to buy something, you get, is it 10% off, something like that?
Yeah.
Get 10% off. But then the one you choose, so you have to make a decision of who you're choosing. And if it's going to be Max, that gets put into a draw. So then all the if Max wins, all the people that chose Max go into a draw. And what's the guy's name that won before the Instagram competition? Was it Sam Law?
Yes, it was.
Fuck me, why do I remember that?
Because you've got a weird brain like that.
Shout out to Sam Law.
So we'll have a comp on this week. So check out Full Reptile Collective. I'll put it on my Twitter as well, on my Instagram.
Yes, and we'll do
that. And cool. All right.
That's it, dude.
Enjoy the fights. In a bit. Have a good weekend. Nice.